Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Empire. AI is taking real form in broadcast technology.
A game engine is something that anyone can basically download, and there's licenses that start at very low. So you're going to start seeing a lot of professionals that come from the game industry that suddenly transition into this broadcast television environment, and also movies. And there's going to be more and more of all of that.
That's Rafael Paez, CEO of Volograms, which allows realistic renderings to come to life. This is the Future Sport Podcast. I'm Bram Weinstein. Presentation matters. New technology alters our ability to see and feel our way into big-time sports. And now AI is upping the game even more by allowing for 3D models to join live broadcasts. It's the brainchild of Volograms, which believes we've only scratched the surface of taking the real world virtual. Our guest this week is Rafael Paez. He is the CEO of Volograms, which empowers users in the creation of 3D content for augmented reality. They recently collaborated with Fox Sports. We're going to get into artificial intelligence, augmented reality, 3D technology. How are you, Rafael? Thank you for joining us.
Hi, thank you very much. Very happy to be here.
Tell me a little bit about what Volograms does.
So Volograms is an AI company. Basically, what we do is that we take photos or videos and turn them into 3D models. We're specialized in getting humans into 3D, you know, like real people, like real actors, performers, sports people that it's very difficult to typically represent in 3D. So we take a photo of a person and then turn it into what we call a volumetric hologram, which is actually where the name of the company comes from. The key thing is that we do it with AI, so we only need like one single photo. So we don't need like the typical massive capture setup or anything like this.
Okay. So tell me a little bit about a collaboration with Fox Sports. What were they looking to achieve by using these models?
Yes. Yeah, so Fox Sports have made like a relatively big investment in their new studio setups, right? So they use the virtual production with the big LED walls as they use in the movies and things like that. And they also have this flying virtual elements, almost like augmented reality, but in the studio, right? So they would put there like the outline of a player, in this case, an NFL player, or they would put there like score, stats, things like this. But typically, all of them are 3D elements. However, from the players, what they only have is like a 2D photo of them. Yeah. So they will have like a flat cutout, as if it was like a cardboard cutout, just standing there in the middle of the studio. So they normally have to be very careful with moving the camera so it doesn't break the illusion or anything like this. With our technology, we were able to take the images that they already had and turn them into 3D models. So they can put them, let's say, in harmony with all the other 3D elements in the space. So if they change some dramatic effect or anything like that, then it reacts as any other 3D element. And the key thing is that we can do it from the photos that they already have. So we're trying to work with them and with other televisions, like, for instance, the RTE, which is the Irish TV, the national TV, into a pipeline of a way to going from a normal image into a full 3D model that it's really usable in the studio and stage.
It's really interesting you bring up all the other elements to make this work, which is lighting, camera technology, all of the studio space that needs to be equipped for this. As you work with companies, whether it's Fox Sports or others, how difficult is it to make the environment right technologically so that they get the effect that they're looking for with what you've created?
I think we're seeing right now like a very big transitioning towards how television is done. You know, everything was done in the past with very broadcast specific software. You know, things like very high-end cameras and a lot of technicians. And we're when we add all these kind of visual elements and things like that, we're starting to move towards more what a game engine is. You know, like most of the studios now run on Unreal Engine, which is what it's used for creating video games. But it's similar to how what happens with the movies. Like a lot of movies right now, and the LED screens are managed with game engines like Unreal Engine. So I think there is a transition from a very specific type of software and hardware that is using the broadcast space to now more like similar to what you would be using in real-time rendering scenarios in games and stuff like that. So I think it's making it a lot more accessible, a lot easier to get into the space. But at the same time, it's a challenge, let's say, for the professionals who have to now learn, let's say, a new language, new tools, and new things to be used. So I think that this transition is going to bring a lot of opportunities. And for people like us, we typically would optimize our assets and optimize our 3D models that we create for the game engines. It's perfect.
Is this, as you know, in all these media environments, very fractured right now. And so budgets come into play consistently. Is this an affordable future for television, film, et cetera, to transition to the types of hardware that you're talking about?
I would say so, yeah. I think that a game engine is something that anyone can basically download, and there's licenses that start at very low. So you're going to start seeing a lot of professionals that come from the game industry that suddenly transition into this broadcast television environment, and also movies. And there's going to be more and more of that.
Okay. So tell me a little bit about the technology of making the Volagrams. How in the world do you take one picture of somebody and then turn it into a 3D model of them?
So it's a form of generative AI, right? So you get one single photo. So from that photo, we apply multiple AI algorithms. The first one separates the person from the background, so identify the outline of the person. We have another algorithm that identifies the different body parts, clothing items, things like that. And then we have a few other things and that we feed to what we call a volume estimation network. This is, in layman terms, is a way of understanding not only how the appearance of a person is, but also the shape, the volume of that person. This is basically done by training an algorithm, by showing an algorithm thousands of 3D models of humans and asking and making it learn. So you end up learning what the shape of a person is. So then you give it a random image, you separate that person from, let's say, the environment, and you can guess more or less how that person is. There's also like a very interesting part, which is how that person looks from behind, not only what the shape is.
Yeah.
Right? So I take a photo of you from the front, and it's like, how does it know how you look from behind? It's like, well, it doesn't really know. It guesses. But as you have probably seen with all this stable diffusion and stuff like that, there's very advanced ways of making up things that are not initially there in an image, like in painting, out painting, that are actually very convincing. And what it will give you from the back is actually pretty good. It's funny because in the case of, let's say, football players and stuff like that, what it doesn't know is what number they're wearing behind.
Yeah.
So sometimes you will get that it doesn't give you any number, but if it guesses that what you're seeing in front is a jersey of a team, it will try to figure out what number it is on its own, and sometimes even come up with a weird character that is not really like a normal number. So it does have its limitations, as you can imagine.
Yeah.
But in general, it does a pretty good job.
What's amazing there is, I guess with a football player, if you put them in a football uniform, you could almost cheat to some degree because most players would look similar from behind if they were wearing a helmet and pads, etc. But if you were to do this with basketball players or movie stars for that matter, like, no one looks like Dwayne The Rock Johnson. So to get his body shape, I think, correct and feel real, that must be a learning experience.
Yeah, I think so there's a few components to this, right? Like one of them is having like a lot of data so you can train it. So let's say there's a lot of variation of the data. There's different genders, body types, there's different movements, clothing items. And so getting that data is complicated. But once you have it, Dwayne Johnson is like a extremely muscular guy. So when you get the front and you separate the outline of the person, the neural network already gets a pretty good idea of how everything else should be. And in the case of him, who's bald typically, it's even easier. I think it's more complicated when you have like a ponytail or something that's not visible in the front. And then in those cases, sometimes it just fails and it will just give you some random hair that doesn't, that's not what it's supposed to be, because of course it's guessing. But at the same time, for the applications that we're typically after, normally the user doesn't go and try to go behind the 3D model to say, okay, I'm going to see the back of the head of this guy. I mean, it's not so important. It is more important that it is a full 3D model, because as I said, you can apply lighting effects, you can use it in a, let's say, 3D environment very naturally, more than a normal 2D photo or something like that. And I think that that's what gives you the realism, the immersiveness that we're after.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
What you're creating too is static, right? No movement involved in the model itself?
No. Actually, so what we specialize is not really just getting static 3D models. We specialize in what's called volumetric video, which is, if you think of video as a sequence of photos, a volumetric video is a sequence of 3D models. So if you, instead of feeding our algorithm, instead of feeding it a photo, you feed it a video taken from one single viewpoint, it will give you a volumetric video. So if you're, I don't know, there speaking, talking, doing some moves or whatever, you will see that in the result too. Huh. So it works with video too.
Oh, that's wild. Okay, so I mean this with no tone. when you're talking to outlets and they want to partner with you, what are you telling them is the benefit of doing this? What do they get out of having this as part of their broadcast presentations?
Yeah, so I think it depends a little bit on the application that you're looking for, right? So all this, if we're talking about the sports industry, where they want to show like the most impressive graphics, the most impressive stats, they wanna have an edge into showing what they have, right? So they put there these virtual tables with elements that pop up and stats and shading, and it's all very cool. It looks like holograms basically in front of you. They right now have a limitation where they want to put a 3D person, because the creating a 3D person, it's either you go to a big 3D scanning studio and you bring, you know, your football players to that rig, which is going to cost you a lot of money, because there's nothing else that the football players have, which is time or resources to basically have to go and get captured. Or you get some artists, you know, to get a 3D model, like a kind of avatarish look of, and we've seen that being done in the Super Bowl back in the day, you know, with some players, and it almost looks like a video game at the end of the day. What you want to have is a photorealistic version of that player, and you want to have a fast and easy way of creating that asset. So what we're trying to give them is, look, you have already been playing, you're already putting like 2D cutouts in your studio, which is okay, but it's not great. You are already creating this, let's say, avatars of football players or cartoons in some clay cases, because that's what you can do. What we're enabling you is to basically get a photorealistic version of this football player or the sports person, without the need of having to go and capture them in 3D or anything like that, just with the assets that you currently have. And that streamlines the process quite significantly.
It's interesting that you pointed out gaming. So obviously everybody is trying to connect with the younger generation. The younger generation plays more video games. The video games, to your point, are vastly superior in what they produce for the visual experience than traditional television ever really could. And they have some advantages there, but they've been able to do that. Have you given thought to what the future of television looks like? Because it sounds like we're all going to be living in Fortnite very, very soon.
Well, I kind of think that probably we will be living in Fortnite. No, I'm joking. But I think that it's not only like the whole gaming experience. In my opinion, is how you create this content. I think that the game developers or the tools to develop games have gone very far and very fast, and they are now a lot of more accessible than what they used to be. Now they all have free options that anyone can get started, and they are so powerful now that it makes sense for them to replace more traditional, let's say, VFX VFX environments, and in some cases like broadcast environments, where real time and was not such a big deal. I think that I don't think we necessarily are going to be living in Fortnite, but what I think is that probably the technology that is running Fortnite is just going to be running also the graphics on your TV. and that's what I mean with, you know, all these game engines like Unreal and, you know, Unity. We're going to see more and more of these tools getting into unexpected places like a broadcast studio.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think how we view all of these items, whether it's entertainment or sports, the transition to mobile technology, the transition to people watching through their gaming systems, especially younger people are watching a lot of content through their gaming systems. I think that seems to matter here too. And what the broadcast operators are sensing this, right? That they better transition over to those spaces.
Yeah, definitely. And I think the content needs to be more interactive. They need to offer all the types of solutions to their younger audiences. We've seen how everyone started posting a lot on social media, and that drove like their engagement in the USA quite significantly. We're going to see how more interactive experiences are going to happen with basketball players, football players, instant replays that include 3D visualizations and stuff like that, that are using technologies like ours. We're going to see more and more on that, and we're going to feel like we're part of the game, that we have a say in, let's say, in, okay, where do I want to see it from? What are the stats that I want to get? Huh. Do I want to get a photo with an art with one of the sports people, like the star? Do I want to get like some fan activation campaigns that are really, really engaging, or farther than, you know, a commercial in the Super Bowl? There's a lot to be done there, and I think that new generation of viewers, of let's say spectators, they have different ambitions and different interests. So we kind of just keep doing things in the same way that we were doing them 20 years ago.
All right, before I let you go, how did you get into this? What's your background?
even though I'm an entrepreneur, my background is actually science. So I did a PhD in computer vision. I was working in this type of technology for quite some time. But I always felt more like an engineer than really like a scientist. So I was always worried or interested in getting the technology into the hands of the users or the somebody to basically use it and pay for it eventually. So we ended up spinning out from the university where we were developing this technology. And so, yeah, I'm basically a nerd that got into this space.
We're all nerds in some way. I'm a sports nerd. You're a science nerd. We're all nerds in some way. Rafael Paez is the CEO of Volagrams. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me.
On the next Future Sport podcast, we'll delve back into tracking technology that is modernized specifically for hockey.
And whether you're sort of an earlier player, kind of working your way up from single A hockey towards triple A hockey, we're finding a lot of engagement and utilization in just this sense of community and almost like gamifying the sport. And I think everyone at every skill level is appreciating the instant feedback when they're getting on and off the ice or the field.
That's Bill Neer, CEO of Helios Sports, who is an athlete turned engineer with design dreams that are having real effect. That will do it for this episode. As always, the future is now. This is the Future Sport Podcast. I'm Bram Weinstein.